Om Shanti.
I think most of you were in class this morning, so you know that the name of this body is Belinda from South Africa. Belinda. I didn't realize that there's translation going on. Okay, good. Good to know. So, the topic, interesting topic that Baba took up on Sunday, he said to us that he says, "Oh my yogi children." He doesn't say, "Oh my Yoda children," which is warrior children. Do you remember that? So, from warrior to yogi. I wanted to start by reading you a quotation, which many of you might know. It's quite famous. It's by someone called Marion Williamson, and it was made famous by our South African Nelson Mandela, because he used it in his inaugural speech. So the quotation goes like this. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light and not our darkness that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who am I not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't be insecure around you. We are meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. It's beautiful, isn't it? And while I was thinking about the subject, this quotation came to mind, and so I wanted to start on that note. Let's just think about the word warrior for a moment. What does it really mean? Because sometimes we quite like the word warrior. But we shouldn't confuse the word warrior with Mahavir. Because Mahavir is the courageous one, right? And so it doesn't mean that we have to battle in order to be courageous. But battling is a very, very old friend of ours. I'm not sure if it's a friend, but it's a little bit like our bhakti sanskars. They've been with us for a very long time. And even in bhakti, we learned how to battle. We were taught that if we don't struggle, then we won't deserve. So we have to struggle, we have to battle, and then we can earn the right to something. Now Baba comes along and he gives us a very different perspective. The three words that he uses, which confuse us quite a lot, they are easy, raja, yoga. And when we hear Baba using these words, easy Raj Yoga, something somewhere in the conscious or subconscious mind says, well, Baba's just saying that to encourage us, right? Because we've got sanskars of 63 births that we have to battle with. We have to finish them. We have to let them go. And so when we hear Easy Raj Yoga, we just accept it as, you know, something sweet that Baba says to us to ease the journey, which we know is a very difficult journey, right? Is it? A very difficult journey. Well, sometimes it does feel like that. In fact, a lot of the time it feels like that, because we don't only have to make peace with our own sanskars, but we also have to make peace with the sanskars of others. So, but, you know, something that I've been thinking about a lot is how Baba speaks. Because if Baba says, Easy Raj Yoga, Baba is the embodiment of truth, isn't he? And so then surely, if Baba is saying it's Easy Raj Yoga, that must be the truth. Even though I may not be experiencing it, but it must be the truth. And so the thought comes that there must be a key then. If I'm battling, I'm the warrior fighting with my sanskars, and Baba is telling me that I should be the yogi, then there must be a key. And if I can find that key, then I can change from the warrior to the yogi. There was something very lovely someone said recently. They said, what is the difference between the one who has yoga and the yogi? And the answer they gave is that the one who has yoga lives here and tries to go there, and the yogi lives there and comes here, and sometimes tries to come here. If you look at Dadi Gulzar, you can see it's quite an effort for her to engage with this physical dimension. So we would all really like to be the yogi, not the one who has yoga, right? That is our aim. So there are a couple of things Baba says in the Avyak Muralis that we read on Sundays, and they are repetitive. It's always, he puts them slightly differently, but it's a very similar message. And he may be talking about a particular stage, and then he'll ask, are you that? And then he'll say, or are you becoming that? Often, he will talk like that. Have you become that, or are you still becoming that? And most of the time, if we ask ourselves the question, our response is, we're still becoming. Because there is one word that is missing, and it's a word that Baba loves. Constant, always. We fluctuate. Sometimes we are what Baba talks about, and we know that sometimes we're not. So there is this absence of constancy. We can't say that we are always in that stage. So, something else Baba said in the Avyak Murali, I don't know the date, but it was this year sometime, and some of you will remember. He said, you are too busy with your household. He was talking about, again, some elevated stage. And he said, you are too busy with your household. And then he said, he defined the household. He said, your household is your sanskaras and your nature. So something inside says, but Baba, isn't that what we're supposed to be busy with? finishing our sanskaras and changing our nature. And so these things that Baba says, they're real wonderful signals for us. But do we pick them up and do we churn about them and really try to see what Baba is getting at? And let's just try and experiment just right now, for example. Here we are sitting in this wonderful meditation hall, and if we look around us and I ask the question, who is sitting here? I mean, if we're really honest, we would have to say, well, there's a whole lot of people sitting here, human beings. But if we ask Baba who is sitting here, what would Baba say? Baba would say souls, or he would say angels. So there's something very different about how we see and how Baba sees. And perhaps our endeavor is really to be able to see the way Baba sees. Because if we can do that, then all these thoughts of one day I will become, it will happen, you know these words that Baba uses, all that kind of language can finish, actually. If we could just see the way Baba sees. And of course, when we use the word see, it's not see with these physical eyes. It's what Mirabai was talking about in her class the other day, the divine intellect, that is also called the third eye. And it has the ability to really see the way Baba sees. It has that capacity. But it requires some sharpening. We have to sharpen the divine intellect. And it's like, I suppose, like a muscle. If you want to build a muscle, if you want to become strong, you have to use it. And you can't just go to the gym for one day and then say, right, my muscle is now strong. It's something that has to be done consistently. And then we build up that muscle and it becomes strong. And the same with our divine intellect. We have to sharpen it and use it on a daily basis. And not just once a day, but many times a day. And slowly but surely, this third eye will open. Now there's another contradiction there, because when we recognize Baba and we become BKs, there is also something in the subconscious that says, okay, now my third eye is open. But Baba uses a word that is a good signal to us, to indicate that that is not the case. And that word is number wise. So one day we hope that Baba won't have to use this word number wise anymore. That Baba will now say that yes, my children are equal to me. Equal means to know what God knows, to understand what God understands, to see the way God sees, to think the way God thinks, to have the perspective of God. Mother also spoke in the first Murali of the season about attitude. And we can't just change our attitude at will, can we? Although we'd like to. We can change our attitude, but behind that has to come a change of understanding and perspective. If we are looking in this room and seeing human beings, that means that our perspective is still of body consciousness. If we looked around this room and we saw the angels that Baba sees, then we could say that our perspective is a soul conscious perspective. So this divine intellect which Baba gave us, he says he gave to each and every one of us when we came to Baba. Baba didn't leave anyone out. And yet, you know, we talk about it, but do we really work with it and see if we can sharpen it and make it clearer so that we can have Baba's perspective on things? So this hour that we've got this afternoon, I don't really want to sit here and just talk through the whole hour. I would like to make it interactive, and maybe we can also experiment with some of these ideas. Is that okay for you? Yes? So, the aim is to finish this sanskara of battling. Baba also talks about self-respect, because it is the battling which is a sign of our lack of self-respect. Because there is always this perception that I have so much work to do. I have so many sanskars that I have to change. And so while we're thinking like that, it's very difficult to create what Daddy Janki calls elevated thoughts for the self. Sometimes we do create those thoughts, but again, there's a part of us that doesn't feel that we really are that. If, for example, we talk about the angel, it's a nice concept, it's a nice idea, but do I really feel as a reality that there is an angel here? And I'm specifically not using the word I, because I at the moment is very much linked to body consciousness. So if we leave out the word I and we just see the self as this angelic being. So let's put our notebooks down for a moment and let's experiment and see if we can use this divine intellect and catch a glimpse of this angel that Baba sees. And Baba doesn't see it sometimes. Baba's vision is consistent. And Baba's whole effort for us is to help us to see the angel within. So let's relax the body, but also sit in an alert position. The divine intellect also has a special key, and that key is concentration. So in these next few moments, we'll try to hold the concentration, and even if the mind wanders, to bring it back again. So Baba has told us about the eternal self. Eternal means eternal. It never ceases to exist. But sometimes it is hidden from view. The eternal self is immortal. One who is immortal is always free. All worry, all anxiety, all insecurity comes from the perception of mortality. So right now we see these divine beings who are all immortal. Their home is of light, and their home is eternal. This is not a meditation. We see this with that divine eyesight, a beautiful world of silence. And within that world of silence, a family of living angels. All are secure and safe. They are harmless and free from harm. They live with God, Baba often says that he is the resident of the incorporeal world, and he says, so are you. Not you were or you will be. He says you are. And this divine eyesight sees this truth. These beings are naturally egoless. A world where ego does not exist. A world of truth. And a world of love. Where love is the natural way of being. These beings are not trying to love, or trying to be virtuous. They are. That is why they are like the Father. So as we continue our journey, our aim is not to lose this eyesight, so whether in action or not, we aim to keep this divine vision. Om Shanti. We are that, right? Did you feel? Or is that some aim that we are striving for? Right now, in this moment, that is what we are. So why can't we see it? It's because, you know, Baba talks about the Patta Buddhi, stone intellect. And the opposite of that is Paras Buddhi, divine intellect. So, again, as Brahmins, we tend to think that, you know, it's other people who have a stone intellect, not us. But as long as we are trying to make effort from the perspective of the body, then we are using the stone intellect. And there's something that is quite tricky for us, and that is the ego. And when I use the word ego, I'm not referring to specifically arrogance. I'm just talking about the ego of identity. So, in the case of Belinda, the ego that identifies with this role of Belinda. Because the ego is also an effort maker. Did you know that? The ego quite likes to be seen to be a good yogi, you know, or to have a big badge or a white shawl or sit in the front row. This is what the ego likes. I'm using these examples, but the ego can be as ridiculous as that. So the ego will try to get that feeling that, yes, you know, I am having good yoga and I am becoming an angel. But the reality is that the ego will never allow Belinda to become an angel. Why? Because the ego will have to die, and the ego does not want to die. That's our challenge. Everything, most things that we do in our day-to-day life is very carefully orchestrated by the ego for it to stay alive. And the ego's job is to make sure that Belinda is appreciated, valued, recognized, and praised, all these things. And it can be very, very subtle. It doesn't have to be at a gross level. But that's the ego's job. And so our job, because as long as the ego is there, the angel is difficult to see. And there's a correlation here. The more we're able to diffuse the ego, the power of the ego, the greater the chance is that we are able to really see who we are, to really see that angel. So, problem is, we don't see this ego. It's so cleverly woven into this role and this personality of Belinda that it's very difficult to actually discern how it's working and where it's working. And just when you get hold of one and you let go of that ego, what happens? Another ego comes up. And so, whilst that is happening, and whilst the ego is dominant, we can't see the angel. So, our task is, there's two elements to it. On the one hand, is to be able to recognize and see how the ego is working within the role of the self. Forget anybody else. You can't do anything about anybody else's ego, we know that. So on the one hand, to really be able to see that, and the divine intellect will help us to see how the ego is functioning within us. And the other side of our effort is to sharpen that eyesight and to keep looking, to keep putting on those glasses of the divine intellect and really see what Baba is seeing. And not as a meditation, as something that's real. Sometimes this word meditation, you know, we come in, sit with the red light and the music, and the moment it's over, we walk out, and you know that ego can take over in 1 second. So we need to make this very natural as we walk, as we move, as we eat, to keep checking, is the eyesight there or have I become blind? Now, Baba sometimes talks about the city of the blind, or he says the children of the blind are blind, something like that. And so when we are in using patta intellect, stone intellect, at that time we are blind, because what happens is the world of the ego becomes our reality. And that's the job of the ego. We can't complain about it, because the ego wants to stay alive, and therefore it has to keep the world of the ego alive as well. So we look at the drama, and the drama becomes our only reality, and also it becomes important. That's what the ego has done. And within all of that, the most important, who's the most important? I am the most important. And it's amazing, there may be 7 billion people in the world, and each one thinks that they are the center of the universe. And that's what the ego does. And so our whole lives are orchestrated around I. How to keep the world of I comfortable and easy and in control. But Baba tells us a lot of things about the drama. And he says that the drama is, what, a dot. He says, see the drama as a dot. So in a way he's asking us to collapse the whole drama into a point. And he says many things about the drama. He says that this old world is like a graveyard. He says everybody is already dead. It's like a mirage. It's like a dream. And the drama is beneficial. And that is a little different subject, because it's important as well. But in this context, Baba says many things to help us to see the drama in the right perspective. That we are not here to fix the drama. But do we try to fix the drama? Do we try to change the drama? The ego tries to do that. But Baba says it's fixed. Drama is predestined. So we hear that, but still the ego is dominant, and so the ego is trying to change the drama. And how is it trying to change the drama? To help everybody out there? No. To help I. Sometimes it looks charitable, you know, that I'm trying to make the drama easier for others. But most of the time, if we're really honest and we trace it back, it's so that I can feel okay. I can feel comfortable. I can feel content. But it's the I of the ego. The angel already has a world, and that world is complete and perfect. The angel doesn't need to fix the drama. But Baba has given us a task within the drama, and that is to bring truth, not into the drama, but to all his children. And he's giving us a lot of signals recently of how to do that. And he says, people are tired of listening. You know, you can talk a lot. In fact, one of the Avyak Muralis recently, he was asking, you know, are you the one who thinks about knowledge and talks about knowledge? Or are you the one who experiences? So the signal Baba is giving us now is really to share this knowledge through our own light. And light is created when the divine intellect is functioning properly. When we see with the divine intellect, light is created. And if you want to wake somebody up, what do? You put on the light, don't you? And they wake up. So the analogy of light is very, very accurate. But I have to check what intellect am I using. And light is only created with the divine intellect. And as this quote that I read at the beginning says, you know, when we allow our light to shine, subconsciously we allow the light of others to shine. So the more light that we can create as we move around in this drama, this is the greatest service that we can do. We don't have to do anything. Do as in, you know, running around and all of that. I mean, that service is there, and that's how expansion has happened. But now Baba is asking us to check, what consciousness am I in while I am doing? Because it's that consciousness of the angel that is going to do the greatest service, that is doing the greatest service. And souls will wake up. And what do they wake up to? When someone's been sleeping, we say, no, they're back in reality, huh? When they wake up. So, which reality do we want them to wake up into? The reality of the old world? No. Because through the perspective of the ego, it's a very painful world at the moment. The ego is very insecure and very sensitive. And when something looks good, you know that behind that there is sorrow. And so we want these beautiful angels to wake up to reality, to know that they are safe, secure, that their companion is God Himself and always has been. God has never deserted them. And souls may believe in God, but they don't experience God. So they wake up to their home, to their family, to their father, to their immortality. And then it won't matter, even for us, what is happening in the drama. Baba talks a lot about becoming stable, unshakable. It's only when we are stable in our eternal identity, knowing what the truth is, the true world, that we can then become unshakable in the drama. Because we don't need anything from the drama. The drama is not supplying us with our security. Our security is coming from the real world, from Baba, from the fact that that world never ends. Our relationship with Baba never ends. The love never ends. It's just that with the Patta intellect, we can't see it. And so it looks like it's finished. You know, when we became impure, that world disappeared. No. It's just we lost sight of it. The story in Christianity of Adam and Eve is such an accurate story. You know, it's just the way in which it's been understood is a bit confusing. But they talk about the fall of mankind. Fall. Fall of mankind. So when Adam and Eve, they say they were chased out of the Garden of Eden. Actually, we know that they were not chased out by God, but the consciousness was not able to see paradise because the sleep had started. And that sleep just got deeper and deeper and deeper until we come to the end of the cycle. Baba talks about Kumbhakarna. You know, in the story, they try to wake him up, and they try everything to wake him up. But it's not a gross thing that's going to wake up the world. It's something so subtle. And so the symbol of Adam and Eve coming out of paradise and then coming into a world of labor. That's how it's actually put in the Bible, that everything becomes a labor. Punishment, yeah. And so, it's the warrior that labors, isn't it? So from that time of body consciousness, everything became a battle. And now Baba is offering us easy Raj Yoga. Just a switch. And the key is to use this divine intellect. So, if anyone didn't listen to Neera Ben's class last week, I do recommend it. It was a very clear illustration of how important this divine intellect is. And again, the concentration. So, shall we have another short practice and see if we can sharpen that divine intellect a little bit more? I just check the time. So we got 10 minutes. So again, using concentration. We check our eyesight. The third eye sees very clearly that there are two worlds. On the one side, there is what we call the drama. And that drama is predestined. It's noisy and it's ever-changing. That's the nature of drama. Characters come and go, scenes change. There is comedy and tragedy, heroes and villains. And the thing about a drama is it can also end in a second. The other world is very, very different. Whilst the drama is noisy, this silent world is still. World of light. And here in that world is the family of God. Beautiful beings of light. They look like stars. And they are so lovely. They are noble. They can be noble because they need nothing. They are full and complete. They don't create thoughts of God. They live with God. The Father is their eternal companion. And they are loved by the Father. All equally. Part of their beauty is their innocence. Just as little children are innocent and they are loved, these angels are clean, clean in head and heart. That is why they are like the Father. They are free from desires. They don't know the word desire. What is there to desire? When you are full, this is the world of truth. And it is eternal. Even though the angels may sometimes fall asleep, this world always exists. And so as they continue their journey, they stay in the light. And they share light. Their light is magic. The magic of truth that awakens their sleeping brothers. So that they can see great treasure. Where they belong and who they belong to. And who they are angels.